This is August 28th, and the next meeting in Albuquerque will be on September 25th, 1988. But before we begin this morning, I would like to bring two special workshop tours to your attention for a moment. From February 23rd to March 2nd, 1989, there will be a workshop held in Maui and Hawaii. There will be four mornings with Bartholomew from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Afternoons, evenings, and Monday will be free for exploration. The total cost for this tour is approximately $1,100. Information on the Hawaii workshop may be obtained by writing Joy Franklin, P.O. Box 2996, Taos 87571. The second event will be a group tour to Peru from June 24th to July 11th, 1989. This is an inward bound tour, a non-trekking adventure by boat, train, plane, and raft to explore the fascinating diversity and grandeur of Peru. We will have meditation, dialogue, question and answers with Bartholomew for 1 hour, as many mornings as our schedule allows. The approximate total for this trip is $3,100. For more information about Peru, please write to Justin Moore, P.O. Box 1656, Taos 87571. And now, good morning, Bartholomew.
So then, good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to take advantage of the awareness today. Many of those of you that have been listening to this, lo, these many years, are in this hall. So I'd like to present something that we've heard before, but I think most of you can hear it perhaps now on another level. Please understand that any teaching or whatever, any exchange of information made between the two parts of the self, which is you and myself, there's no separation here, is presented in rounds of consciousness. If you could call it spiraling awareness. So something that we have shared, say, 10 years ago when we began our journey, comes around again at another time, but this time with a different sense of things, with a different kind of emphasis, and hopefully with a different kind of opening for you. So, if the information happens to sound familiar, please try to get down to a deeper level of awareness of what we are about to share. Many people come and they say, I feel that I am stuck in my process. I can't get beyond my emotional pain or my judgments or my feelings of worthlessness or my anger at my past and all of this. And as a result, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to go about becoming the expanded, loving, open, exciting consciousness that, say, people like this say, I can become. So then what do we do about being stuck? First of all, let us go back to the very basics. Until you understand who you are, you will not understand at all about how to not be stuck. Because if you say to yourself, I'm a human being wrestling with all of these problems, hanging on somehow to some hope in life, you are not going to be able to solve anything because, my friends, this is an important statement, you will not have amassed sufficient energy, sufficient power to break through what is obviously some kind of an energy dam. When you feel stuck, you have run right up against something that you have built, that you have created for your own well-being, for your own safety, for your own contentment and understanding. It is not something that Superman flew out of the sky and placed before you. It has something to do with your own creation, and there it stands. As you get closer and closer to the center point of your being, you are going to run into constantly one of these creations after the other. And I ask you, please, with all sincerity, do not become discouraged. It is not as if something has gone wrong and now you had an open countenance and now you are suddenly back in the same situation. It is not like that, my friends. It is one dissolving layer after another that moves deeper and deeper and deeper down into that center point of stillness, which is what you are trying to rest in. A way to define the journey is to so move from the external and the motion of the external deeply into the stillness of the center point within you that you can, from this clear, steady point of awareness, view the rest of consciousness, the rest of what is happening out there with a sense of being both within your being and out there at the same time. No choices. Not having to deny one over the other. To be able to ride with that wonder that both are present. But then how do you make this motion so that the energy cracks through the barriers that you have constructed? The first is, and this is essential, you must remember what you are. You must remember with as much power in your mind as you possibly can that you are energy in motion that moves from one creative, dynamic expression to the next, leaving behind very little trace. You know, my friends, if you could see yourselves psychically, you don't leave a lot of traces behind you. I think sometimes you think that you have this great big long road of garbage cans. You know, like when you get married, they put all those garbage cans just married. I think sometimes it's like that. When you take a human body, you marry this idea that you just move along the road with all these trash cans just banging along behind you, hoping, you know, that some of it will dissipate in your journey through time space. Well, it isn't like that. And the more that you can begin to tell your inner awareness, which is all of your wholeness, now we are going to, this is you speaking, now we are going to begin to trust in the awareness that we are open, that we are spacious, and that nothing needs to remain in us if we so desire to leave it behind. And therein lies the difficulty. All of these walls that you have created, lo, these many years, you have invested a part of your being. You have created these forms, these walls, these observations, these beliefs, these ideas, these confirmations. You have built them because you needed them for some deep function in your life. And so when in this wondrous moving back into the depths of your being, you run into one of these, the first feeling is, this is familiar, this is sweet, this is safe, this is a companion to me. And I do not wish to give it up. That's the first time of reaching this wall. And how does it manifest? It manifests as saying things like, well, I'm perfectly fine, and I don't know what's wrong with you, and if you would change, our life would be delightful. That's the first sign. When you run up against something, someone says, now, dear, I really, with all due compassion, would like to tell you that I think, so on and so forth, whatever this is. And your first line of response is sudden, almost combative, explosive, very sure of itself. How dare you? That's not me. That's not my problem. It's your perception that's the problem. You see, if you can just hear yourself as you feel this motion, do you understand the motion? Have you felt it, ladies and gentlemen? It's that first awareness of my special creation is being attacked. And it is. And it is. Your very dearest, most alive creation and view of yourself is now being, for the first time, under attack. Now, at that explicit moment, my friends, you have two obvious choices. One is to continue to reiterate your rightness and your over and over again, which is all right, because you see what happens in this game is that you have so contrived it that when you are ready to eliminate the wall, you will find many people in your life popping up with the same observation. If there's only one in 10 years that tells you something's wrong with you, I don't think you need to worry about it. But if you find 10 people in the same month coming up to you and saying, by the way, have you observed about yourself, or whatever it might be, or whether they explode at you and give you this truth, you will find the first delightful, if you can hold on to that idea of it being delightful, awareness of this wall is constancy. You will be constantly reminded. And you, my dear ones, have done it because it is time for that particular view to dissolve itself, to open up the space so that you can feel that other wonderful space that stands right behind the wall. You see, the walls go the other way when you move inner space. The smallest wall, you see, the smallest amount of space is on the outside. As you move closer and closer to center, the spatial awareness, the space that you run into when you dissolve a wall, gets vaster. It doesn't go the other way. You might think it should get smaller because you seem to think that these things are lodged in your physical body. And, you know, where does it fit? You know, where do I put it? It's not, I'm not big enough to hold this. But it isn't like that. That space, that point of wonder where you connect with and then move into the source of the universe is joined, if you want to put it in the physical sense, as Ramana mentions, Ramana Maharshi says, it's in the heart, not meaning the beating heart, but the heart center. And the great ones all experience, when they begin to feel God consciousness, it's as if they are falling into this wonderful opening. This wonderful opening where you get words like the boundless void. The boundless void, the boundless stillness of the ever-moving void. Those kinds of words, those kinds of feelings come into the awareness. So we're talking about a very vast, vast, amazing state of consciousness. And where you connect with it most readily happens to be in the heart center. So as you begin to fall into this boundless feeling and to sense the vastness of what's happening to you, you begin to realize with great delight that all of these people who have come to give you this message about yourself have come by your request. Because it is time to get bigger. It is time to open to a new sense of things. So the first thing you can do is to keep repeating the pattern, and they will keep coming back at you, and eventually, because all of you are here to learn the obvious, which is how wondrous you are, you will begin to hear it. And in so hearing, these things begin to change. Now, the other way, which is what I would like to present to you as an opportunity today, is to become aware of this source, this substance of what you are, in a very graphic way. I want to describe it to you. Many of you work best if you have something that you can describe. The source of your being is a very substantial energy field that is constantly in motion, always giving out sound and harmony and wonder and heat, and can at any moment change its shape. It is the most incredibly malleable material that you will run into on the earth plane. It is constantly able to change its form, its shape, its color, its intonation, its shadow. At any moment, it can be changed into something quite different. There is no magician on earth who can bring off an illusion anywhere as magical as what happens inside of you the moment that you decide that whatever this feeling is, whether it be resentment or self-pity or anger or jealousy or rage, it doesn't matter. When you feel that feeling and something arises in you that says, enough of this, instead of feeling that you are stuck and getting the idea in your mind, this is who I am. This is who I am. This is unchangeable. This is carved in granite. The moment that you sense that, you have got to please be willing to allow this moment that we have shared together to flood your consciousness and give you the willingness to attempt to remember that you are an incredibly easily moved substance form. If we had to change this in the same amount of time, we would be in trouble because, of course, its density is much, much more difficult. But when we are talking about your consciousness, we are talking about something that changes instantly. And what is the shape changer? The shape changer is your willingness at that time to say, I want to feel something different. At that moment, my friends, you remember with all of your awareness another feeling tone that you have entered into at some other time. And as you remember that feeling tone, its remembrance floods into the moment, enters into an intimate dance with this energy field that is you, and in that moment, without any time-space drop, you can change the moment. If you believe in time-space, this is a tremendously exciting experiment. Because your mind tells you that you must move down a linear path to some kind of completion, and that every step is taken with very deep and tedious work. And transformation, my friends, is instantaneous. And transformation comes the moment that you decide of your own sweet will to take the substance of your spirit, of your being, and mold it with your thought into something different. You do not have to be miserable. You do not have to be sad. You do not have to be angry, self-pitying. It doesn't matter what the word. You do not have to be any of those things. And the key is to begin to really experiment with a shape changer. You are the shape changer. You change the shape and form of your ideas constantly. If this day you would resolve to use the material presented to you moment after moment in your life to change your responses and begin to set yourself up in situations that will test this, test your courage, test your ability, test your skills, get out there instead of being afraid of the world coming and somehow forcing you to change, if you will just begin to be excited about, all right, let's see if this windbag up there on Sunday and at Woodard, is that where we are? At Woodard Hall, one has to keep knowing where one is. In Woodard Hall, really knows what's happening down here on this human realm. All right. Now, for qualifications. I would like to give my qualifications to be able to say this. Had I not been a shape changer in a physical body at one time in time-space, I could not speak with this assurance. I could not. But since I have had that delightful experience, at least a part of this energy field has had a part of that experience, I can say it can be done. And it gets done when you decide to do it and not one instant before. And it has nothing to do with purity. It has nothing to do with morality. It has to do with willingness. It has to do with willingness to, in this moment, attempt the greatest transformation, which is to drop the past in the instant and create in that moment exactly what it is your sweetest, deepest desire is to experience. You have created fear and separation because you honestly felt that separation would keep you safe. It's obvious. It's logical. You look out here and it's perfectly logical. But in the depths of your being, after lo these many cycles of earth consciousness, you have perhaps come to the awareness that instead of decreasing the fear, separation has increased the fear. Because now where do you go when you are afraid? You cannot go to the separated ones because that is where the fear arises. There's only one place to go, and that is to fall back into the remembrance of the truth. And the remembrance of the truth, as much as your physical eyes and your senses have denied it, there is but one life force. There is but one life force. There is but one life force. The separation arises out of the illusion created by the separated body. But there is but one life source. Nothing is not you. Nothing. And in that moment of being willing to fall back from your separated boundary that you created to keep you safe, you risk what I call the fall into the abyss. Because you see, it's like you almost have to fall backward. You don't dare turn around and look because, you know, abysses are large. And, you know, you have all these remembrance patterns of all those cliffs and all those events of human life. So to say to you, all right, dear, we'll stand here on the edge and we'll jump, you know, it's really not going to happen like that. So what we have to do is to kind of trick you to turn your back around and then push from the front so that you fall into the abyss and you're not aware of what's happening. Now, what do I mean? What do I mean specifically by this? Because this is a specific statement. We have asked you over and over and over yet again to stay in this moment so that every moment you are aware of all of the different feelings that are happening to you. Are you pleased? Are you enjoying the moment? Are you bored? Are you angry? Are you afraid? Are you painful? What is happening to you? Right here in this moment, what is happening? And if you begin to pay attention You are, without knowing it, turning around so that your back is to the abyss, because you are not looking. You are not looking into a forward state of, oh, I'm afraid. You are staying so strongly in the moment that you stand firm and you really don't begin to care. You begin to care less about what happens tomorrow. My friends, if you would stay in the moment, you would begin to enjoy feeling life to such an extent that you would be able to say, unto this moment, there is plenty of life. I don't have to worry about the next moment, next month, next year. There is enough life here in this moment to make me exuberantly happy. Exuberantly happy, if I will stay. But if I allow my mind to wander, oh yes, but what happens if it's not here tomorrow? What happens if I come into the present tomorrow and it's like not like this? You have to keep remembering, please, to pull it back to one focus only. You are capable, if you will stay conscious. You're capable of feeling the incredible sweetness of every moment. And as you do so, you will create an exciting kind of a barrier of actual power around you. Because as soon as you stay in the moment, and all of the different parts of your being awaken to the fact that you're there, that you're, oh, she's home. Oh, all right. Well, he's there. Oh, all right. Well, now we can, I mean, really, they wait to see where you're focused. These energies are always waiting to flood in and fill you and to help you and to guide you and to just hold you, to care about you, to let you know all of these deep things. So the parts of the being that are not conscious to you are always watching. And when the awareness is deeply grounded in the moment, in the body, in what's happening now, they are able then to flood in with a lot stronger power. My friends, look. If you are paying attention to something way out there, the vast part of your being has to go where you go. I mean, it can't stay here and you go there. You know, it's not like that. There is no separation. So when your awareness is always out there, out in the world, is the world liking me? Is it hating me? Is it loving me? Is it good to me? What have I done right? What have I done wrong? When you're constantly out there, what happens is that all of your being, which follows you to the depths of hell, and some of that is the depths of hell, it follows you and goes with you. It cannot have that same kind of, please follow, physical intensity available to you. Do you understand? I do not know if I'm reaching you at all, but let me try again. You are not a small little something seated in a body, charging through life space as best you can. That is not who you are. You are an incredibly vast, undulating, sometimes smaller, sometimes larger, energy vortex containing things that you have no idea about at all. But you move as a unit. You do not separate from self. You just move wherever awareness goes. So awareness, which is a part of you, moves out and plays itself on some outer event. You can get very upset, oh, somebody hit my car, somebody this. All of your awareness is now focused around that car. And the car, if I be frank, is probably enjoying it. You know, truthfully, you know, the attention and the wonder and all of the power. The car is just, oh, thank you, this is wonderful. You know, as long as you're not kicking the tires, you know, whatever. You know, if you have this softness about it. Because energy is felt by energy. There are no rules. All energy feels each other. So the awareness of other places where your consciousness goes can also be touched. For example, I feel quite sure that you have all experienced the awareness that someone's thinking deeply about you who wasn't even near you. What's that? You know, everybody says ESP. I don't even know what those words stand for. But what I do know is your awareness, wherever it is grounded, caresses that upon which you are concentrating. So those of you that have enemies, you are probably giving them a lot of energy. As you think about them, you're just giving them some more energy, because there's your gift. You know, you're thinking about them, and they're just feeling, oh, right, I knew I was right all along. I know. So remember the basic. That which you concentrate upon, your awareness caresses. It caresses it. Now, do you understand the obvious? If you are staying here, all of your energy deeply aware in your own physical body, who are you now caressing? You are caressing yourself. And then the energy vortexes are able to enliven you, because all spiritual experience means nothing if it does not enliven you. It has to enliven you down to the cellular components of what you are. And so when you stay, why do they keep screaming? Stay in the moment. Because this is the only moment that you can feel anything. And if your awareness is not here, you will not feel it. You will find yourself, haven't you ever done this, all of a sudden woken up and found yourself in the Safeway parking lot? The last place you knew, you were at home, you know, and all of a sudden, here you are, and here I was. Oh, well, that's fine. But to understand, where were you? Where were you? Your awareness was caressing infinite numbers of other things, other people, ideas, which is why you can help heal each other so beautifully. When you really want, and you can at any moment choose to take your awareness and extend it, I didn't say have it leave you, extend it to someone else in order to caress them in a healing way, it works. Now, what is the difference between awareness leaping and awareness extending? Because this is a real crux of the situation. When you begin to live in your own moment, in your own body, and begin to feel the ecstasy of life, not a certain kind of life, just the ecstasy of life. When you begin to feel the pulsation and the rhythm of breath, when you begin to feel the aliveness in the cells when life and power and energy is moving, which it always is through you, when you begin to drop off all of the concern of the outside and stay within your being, what develops is a very strong desire to stay at home, here. A very strong desire to just keep track of what's happening. To just keep remembering that each moment that you breathe and are aware within your own being in the moment, you are allowing the vast part of your energy field to enlighten, to transform, and to ignite what you have come to call the chakras. Call them anything you want. There are points of power when your energy is so in the moment, within this being, within this body, that they begin to spin at a new rate. They begin to give off more heat, more power, more wonder, more openness. Fact. Ask any yogi. It's old business. Nothing new about that. But you see, you're not yogis in the old sense. You cannot sit around and wait to enlighten. You have to do something rather more exciting, which is to learn how to be that ignited, illuminated one in the midst of what they would call the marketplace, the ability to move back and forth between others and yourself. Now, the first order for your enlightenment, my friends, is just to stay at home in the body and pay attention. To the breath, to the thoughts, to the feelings, to the tensions, to the pressures, whatever is going on, you are the subject of you. And at last you come home. It's the last place you look. It is the last place you look. Remember that funny joke, you know, they wanted to give God to human beings and they laughed and said, let's put it the last place they'd look. Let's put it in them. You know? Well, believe me, no great power would ever be so, sadistic. But the fact remains is that it is the last place you look. You have looked to teachers, you have looked to windbags, you have looked to books, you have looked to everything, and you know, in the end, it's you that has to be the subject of this experiment. You are the laboratory, and you are the awakening. And the more you just sit there and feel and allow and pay, be a co-participant in the moment with your own energy field, the more exciting your own moment becomes, no matter what you're doing. Excitement is an inside job. It's an inside job, ladies and gentlemen. No excitement you have ever had on the outside can measure the excitement of the inside. And I ask you to be totally serious about the excitement possible within this physical if you will just stay home so that it can begin to happen. Your awareness will begin to caress, excite, and explode the chakras inside of your body. One of the reasons that sex is such a delight in the outside world, it comes about as close to the inner excitement as you can get on the human plane. But I will tell you that the ratio is about 1 to 100, 1 to 10,000. You know, wait and find out. There's nothing to compare. I also know that from personal experience. Nevertheless, the knowing that each moment you are giving yourself the gift of your own awareness, that you are allowing to give to yourself something, moment by moment, that no one else can ever give to you, makes every moment special. Does it not? If the only job is to stay here and allow the energy to bless you, to have its grace fall upon you, to have its knowing open unto you, no one can do this for you. You know, the divine stands waiting, but the attention, the awareness must come from you. And it's by simply staying inside the physical, being aware of the breath, being aware of the thoughts, being aware of the emotion, being aware of the movement of your life. As you do this deeper and deeper, knowing that each moment the only gift you can give to yourself and therefore to the world is to become somehow inspired, transformed, and ignited, you will begin to take seriously the delightful task of paying awareness to yourselves. My friends, it's the last place to pay awareness to yourself. Not in some kind of narcissistic way, but in a knowing that as you take your energy out of other people's business, out of other people's judgment, out of others' whatever, pulling it back into you, getting very simple, allowing the world to rise and fall as it will, as it must. It must rise and fall. Sometimes it will be a delightful spectacle, and at other times it will seem very abysmal. It doesn't matter. The dance continues. There is joy and there is sorrow. Life contains it all. You do not have to change the content of life. You have to change the focus of your awareness. And as you bring it back 100 times a day, then 10,000 times a day, until you finally have it so ingrained that you know that there's only one job in every moment, which is to give yourself the gift of your own awareness, you will begin to understand all of these things. The difference between extending out of your deepest awareness to another person to heal is this. If you are still filled with the necessity to somehow manipulate and control the environment because you somehow think that that is what is going to make you happy and safe, do you understand? That's why you do it. You don't do it because you're malicious and nasty. You do it because you honestly feel that if you can manipulate and control the environment, however subtly, that somehow you will be safe. When you really understand that that hasn't worked, that you are still vulnerable, still separated, still lonely, still away from the one source, as soon as you really understand that, then you just give up the outside and you deeply fall into this moment. And as you begin to feel that, you feel the force of life in a new way. It is not as if you have to bang through all the walls of your judgment and somehow grasp out and reach the other so that you can trickle out a little word of help and support. You see, sometimes, you know, they have these healing circles and people, I can't tell you some of the things that they send, you know, because they are not all of them in a place of centered awareness so that what they send moves through all of the walls. When you begin to feel the incredible fullness of life, the one thing you will never forget is it's not just you. When truth comes in energy, the one truth that rings constantly is it's all. If I have it, everyone has it. There is no speciality here. And the minute that you know that with all of your being, that there is no special, there is no best, there is no better, there is just energy, motion, aliveness, from that center point, out of your great yearning to just join with this other, what happens is the life force, your awareness stays conscious and begins to ride both within you and on the energy field to the other person. You know, this may seem like a very small point to you, but as you begin to work with this kind of energy work, which is, to me, the thing you have to do before you thunder into enlightenment, when you really begin to work with this deeply on a constant level, you'll know exactly what I mean. It is not that you, are giving other something that you want them to have. It isn't like that. It is you flooding into you. It is you moving into you. There is only you, or if you want to put it the other way, there is only them. You see, it doesn't have to, do you understand? There is no middleman. There is no, oh, out of my great awareness here, I will bless you with my healing. No, it's not like that. What happens is you feel, and this is, you know, Castaneda covers it in some kind of psychic way, some of his texts. It is a upwelling, and it moves out of you, and it feels as if pulsating energy is just moving out and just kind of caresses whatever it runs into. And if you happen to be holding someone beloved in your mind or someone that you really wish to caress with whatever it is in that moment, you'll begin to feel an incredible connectedness. It's almost as if they are standing in you, not somewhere outside of you, but in you. When we did the work for Dorothy Dillon, when we were able, some of you got, you felt her in you. She was inside of you. She was not out there in hospital. She was in. That's the kind of thing that happens. That they're both there and there's so much room. It's endless. They're in you, you're in them. The separation dissolves. You know, my friends, every text you have ever read of ultimate expression says, in the last moment, you will know there's but one. There's but one. No one gives to other. No one takes from other. No one harms other. No one helps other. There is just the giving of the one to the one to the one. Within the one, it's all one. The job of the separated vision, which you all hold, is to begin to get your energy field so strongly alive that you will be able to reverberate the energy so clearly that you will be able to feel the one. That is the end job of all religion, to get you to the place where you know, with every pore, with every bit of consciousness, with every thought, with every motion, that there is but one, and that you are within it, and that it is within you, and there is no you, and there is no it, and there are no words for that kind of experience. It is not hard to achieve. The difficulty is that you have been taught that it was difficult to achieve. You know, you have to be a male, and you have to be a Brahmin, and you have to live in India, or, you know, whatever the specification is in whatever country. Now, all of this is not true. The only thing that is absolutely essential is that you begin to stay at home so that the energy is caressing in the only place where it can meet itself, which is in you. Every moment when you just keep turning it within, no matter what you're doing, you are going to be rejuvenating and making alive an incredible energy field that has the power to bring into your consciousness the one. Now, you could say, what is this one? What is it? We have to go back to the view of who you really are. So let us remember that you are incredible, spontaneous, exploding light, power, energy, and wonder. You know, they're getting closer and closer to it. You know, they're taking greater and greater photographs on all these subtler levels of the energy vortexes. They haven't touched it yet. You know, when they start getting into what we would call the clear light rather than the white light, then we'll have some fun. You know, because there's a great deal of difference between the white light and the clear light. And they will begin to develop the technology to be able, if not to photograph, at least to make somehow aware to all of you this energy of what is called the clear light. Now, this energy of clear light has as its greatest component the ability to move in different parts of consciousness. So as you begin to build up the power, build up the awareness, this clear light, this clear wonder, this clear power that's always present, begins to move deeper and deeper into the chakra system. As you accelerate your energy, it can begin to blend with an even greater consistency. The words fail. Let us make a false picture for you. Let us pretend that you are encapsulated in various sheaths of energy, and that outside of it is this wonderful clarity of clear light that carries all the power and the knowing and the compassion and the wisdom and the peace and the joy that you're looking for. And let us say that it's a brand new video game, and the idea of this video game is to get this wonderful clear light to permeate this sphere. And your job is to figure out how to do it and where to do it. It's a great mystery, isn't it? It really is a great mystery. And so as you begin to become more aware, as you begin to read and feel and experiment and experience, you will begin to find that there are certain things that just make you feel more alive. They will be those moments, those things that you are doing that fill the clear, that pull the clear light deeper into this separated sphere of consciousness. I said that the clear light has the ability to go wherever it wills. The one thing that it has to have, however, is some kind of a bell, some kind of a tone that calls it. It has to, if I could put it this way, have some kind of a complementary feeling tone to it, to call it into the sphere. And you are calling all of the time with your prayers, with your meditations, with your awareness, with your determination, with your sweet delight. That is the sounding of the bell. And it starts to come through in various parts of the sphere, moving and making the inner sphere more and more filled with this clear light. Every time you turn your awareness toward any of these things, you are allowing more of it in. More and more. And you, of course, you see the obvious truth here. The more that you have inside, it sets up its own sound. And since like follows like, when as you get more of it within you, it sounds a much greater, deeper tonal quality, which then pulls more of it to itself. No moment of your life is wasted if you would simply spend time remembering these simple things. Instead of speculating on what kind of vegetables they will have at the grocery store, you will find out when you get there. There is just no question. So wait until you get to the grocery store. And as you are approaching that great edifice of life here on earth, as you are, instead of worrying about that, be aware that in this moment, if you simply turn your awareness to it in the slightest bit, in whatever way calls you, you will be pulling that clear light into you. One of the definitions of a saint, you know, what words to use? They have a clarity. And it isn't, you know, that they are very philosophically wise. They have a clarity. Their faces are clear. Their eyes are clear. There is a clarity. And this is a reflection of the clear light. You know, the Buddhists have a place that they call the land of the clear light. And it's not by mistake that it's named that, because that's what's there, the clear light of consciousness, of total, magnificent, divine, abundant consciousness. And it abides and abounds around you all the time. So each time you sound the call within, it pulls itself to it. Now, in the beginning stages, and some of you say, but I've been at this for years. And I say, yes, perhaps you have, but have you ever really considered that moment after moment, you can sound the call for what you want, so that each day you will begin to actually feel the difference in you? Actually feel the difference. What helps most of all is when you begin to experience that truth is really coming. That all of these things that you've been seeking are really coming to you. And to the extent that you can span your day with that kind of practice, the faster comes the response, the clearer comes the awareness, and the moment that that awareness begins to register in you, you believe. All right. Basic. Stay home. Stay inside. Stay awake. Stay alive. What's happening? Who are you really? Are you this ever-changing outside? You know that's not true. 5 minutes of real observation would tell you that. You're not that. You're something that rose in consciousness the day you took earth form and is the same until the day you leave, and it will be the same the day that you have left and come around for a new round. You don't really think deeply that you are this separated. But you have got to decide to ask, if I could even be bold, to demand that the mystery of who you are reveal itself to you. And that means, in whatever way, Ramana says, ask, who am I? St. Francis says, pray. Someone else says, stay in the moment. All put together, in whatever way you have to do it, will you please begin to do it? If you will do it on a consistent scale, day after day, you will begin to set up that tonal quality that pulls it to you in such vast quantities that you begin to know it with such assurance that nothing shifts ever again. It is as if the awareness of God consciousness dawns in the mind, in the heart, in the emotions, in the body, and things begin to open up. The degree to which you feel that is up to you. Most of you, my friends, are, and I do not mean this in a negative sense, are really trickling the awareness in. So you have a few moments of openness, but then it's back to the I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. And then it's open, and then it's I'm stuck. Back and forth. And it's because, my friends, you've got too little of a trickle going to really ignite you to the place where you can feel the explosions that are your birthright. It is your birthright to feel the explosion of God consciousness within you. And this is as good a lifetime as any. You know, you will do it someday. Why not now? You know, think about it. Why not now? And it begins by, all of you have sweet will. You have transcended, many of you, things that were very difficult to transcend. And you did it with your will. If you can overcome any physical addiction that this physical plane has given you to overcome, let me tell you that what you are trying to do on the God level is much, much simpler. It is so much simpler, and do you know why? Because instead of taking anything out, you are pulling everything in. Instead of saying, I have to get rid of something, what you are saying is, I take it all. Give it to me. I want it all. Meaning all of God awareness. I want it all. Fill me with your presence. Fill me with your light. Fill me with your awareness. And you haven't had to give up anything. Do you see the difference? The other is a struggle to take something that for whatever reason compelled you and push it out of your life. Much more difficult than to day by day open and say, fill me. Fill me, fill me yet again. You've done heroic things, many of you. This will not be like that. This will not be like that. Because after a few days of really attempting it, the sweetness, I do mean a few days, the sweetness will begin to fill you. The sweetness and the quickening and the awareness will begin to fill you so palpably that you will know. That you will know. The clear light waits with incredible compassion. And it has as its greatest motion the yearning to fill. And it yearns to fill every particle, every cell, every creation of human consciousness. If you will just begin today on some deep place within you to really say, this is why I live. This is why I awaken. This is my purpose. To call, to ask, to be open, to be filled, and there is nothing else for me to do this day but this. Then the magnetic force will call to it that which you seek. You know, you've heard it so often, but it is not trite. Knock and it will be opened. Call and they will answer. There is no doubt about it. What it takes from you, please, is a willingness to ask and ask and ask. and ask. I'm grateful for you for coming on this bleak and rainy day. It's indeed quite an act of something to get here. I would like to have a meditation. Those of you who wish to leave, if you would do so. I would like to suggest a meditation. Now, many of you have your own meditations, and that's wonderful. But just for a few moments, I introduced the sense of the clear light today on purpose, because I think that if you will begin to dwell simply on the concept of a clear light, just gnaw on as a dog does a bone to try to uncover the mystery of a clear light, that you'll begin to set up a feeling tone within you that will bring it to you faster. And the meditation is simple. It is always helpful, please, before beginning any ritual of meditation, to begin to be aware of your breath. Because the moment that you are aware of your breath, you are in your body. You cannot be aware of your breath if you are anywhere else. You will just simply come back and realize that you have been breathing. But you see, most of you are like that, aren't you? You do. You realize one day, I've been breathing all these years, you know? But you're not really yet aware of what that means, of the incredible wonder of feeling yourself breathing. Very simple, very ordinary, but it is wonderful. So please begin, if you will, with the breath. And play with the breath as best you can. Allow it to move. Allow yourself, no forcing, just allow yourself to feel its fullness. You know, life is breathing you. Something is breathing you. Of yourself, you cannot breathe. But something is definitely breathing you. So first, please, for the first however moments it takes, become aware of that motion, of that wonderful motion, something mysterious about this process of breathing. And then when you feel yourself very centered in the fullness of that, please, I'd like for you simply to introduce gently and softly into your consciousness, gently and softly, the idea of a clear light. And it will be placed, please, within what you have come to call the heart center. Just, it's a clear light. And that's all you have to think. Is this? Some of you might see it as a clear ball of energy, just something clear with a space in there. Somebody might see it as an iridescent, whatever it might be. But please, quietly and gently, just feel this. My friends, if you would just spend a few times a day doing this simple exercise, day after day after day after day, what you're doing with your intention of the clear light is to set up that tone that we're talking about. And as you do it deeper and deeper, the response will come. Nothing fancy. Just a steady, soft, open, clear light deeply within you. You can help each other these next 10 minutes to begin that very simple function. In the end, my friends, it is that which will call you home. It is that which will call you home. Because your home is where there is no form. There is nothing but the clear, endless wonder of the clear light.